Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning the Lidui Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa. Miriam Freund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom, and her neshama have a continuous aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning that we share this evening and every week, Baruch Hashem. So we are trying to get through last week with a special shiur. We took a break from the Rambam's discussion of what it means to be infatuated, to be sick with love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are talking about a Ahavas Hashem. Again, last week we took a break to look at the mitzvah in the parasha of Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem in Parashas Ekev. And then more specifically, we related it to the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av, and the quest for Ahava, a person must first begin with Yira. Okay, so we are going now back to the Rambam. We are going to finish the piece that we began. So here I am. One second. Let me just try and I don't want to be here. Okay. I have it on the screen. There we go. Okay, I have to move you. Okay, someone who I could see. Can you see my screen? Yes? Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, so we are currently trying to get through, and Beli Neder today we are going to finish. We're in Hilchos Teshuvah. We're really a week away from Rosh Chodesh Elul. This coming Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarchim Elul. We're in Hilchos Teshuvah, right at the end, in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, Perek Yod, as you see here, chapter 10. So we have gone through most of these halachos already. We're up to halacha vav. However, I'm going to go back to halacha hey because I want to add something that we did not discuss previously vis-a-vis halacha hey. We did not do halacha hey last time because, again, last week we took a break from going through this passage of the Rambam, of Maimonides and Mishnah Torah. So let's refresh and learn halacha hey together once again, please, okay? Again, Maimonides, the Rambam says, Kol Osek B'Torah, this is Halacha Hey and Perek Yod of Hilchos Teshuvah, where he discusses what it means to love God. You could see my screen, yes? Okay. Kol after last week with the Ahav and the Yira, and after I taught the whole thing and everyone said we couldn't see. So the whole week I'm asking everybody, can you see? Can you see? 1 second. I know, we're Mamish Elul's here. I know Tafshin Pei is on its way out and Tafshin Pei Aleph is on its way in, and we're mamash here. Here we go. Kol ha'osek b'Torah, everyone who involves himself in Torah, kedei lekabel sachar, in order to get reward, o kedei shelo tagi alav pur'anos, or because it will protect him from calamities, from difficulty, hareza osek shelo lishma. So behold, he is serving God with ulterior motive. It is not for the sake of serving Hashem. It's not for the sake of the divine name. It's shelo lishma. It's because something's going to come to him. He's going to get a reward, or it will save him for Puranus, but it's not Shalo Lishma. It is not Lishma. It is Shalo Lishma. The Kol HaOseg Bo Lo Liyira Velo LeKabel Schar El B'Pnei Ahavas Adon Kol HaAretz Shetziva Bo HaRezo Oseg Bo Lishma. I'm going to translate that sentence. But anyone who is involved in Torah, not because he fears the Almighty, and not because he wants to get reward, only because he loves the Master of the whole earth who commanded him, this is learning Lishma. This is serving God Lishma. This is doing mitzvos L'Shem Shamayim for the sake of the name of God. For Amru Chachamim, and the sages say, Le'olam Yasok Adam B'Torah, a person should always make his asek, his business, his occupation, Torah. V'afilu Shalom Lishma, even not for pure motives. Shemitol Shalom Lishma, Balishma, because it will happen to be that if you will serve Hashem and do the mitzvahs and do the right thing that you're supposed to do, even with ulterior motive, ultimately you will come to serve Hashem Shalom Lishma without the sake of reward, just because you want to serve Hashem. Lefichach, and therefore, kishemalamdim esaktanim esanashim, when we teach young children and we teach women who klal amei ha'aretz and the ignoramuses, ein malamdim osan elo la'avod miyira, we teach them to serve God out of fear. And we teach people on a lower level, it's okay, serve Hashem to get reward, ad until shatirba da'atan, their knowledge, their awareness grows more and more, v'yischakmu, they become wise, chachma yisera, with extra wisdom, migalim lahem razem ma'ama, we reveal this secret to them little by little. You know, really, as you become more intelligent, as you grow older, as you learn more, as you become more educated, you should really know, you shouldn't really be serving Hashem to get reward. You shouldn't really be serving Hashem in order to be called Rebbe, like we saw, in order to get reward, in order because you're afraid of him. You should just serve Hashem from love. And umargilin osam le'inyan zebit nachas, and we become regular with this, with nachas ruach, with the pleasant path, until it overtakes him, and they will serve Hashem for mahava. So this is what the Rambam says here in Perek Yod, halacha hei of hilchos teshuva. But I want to speak specifically, I want to share a beautiful Dvar Torah with you, my eldest son shared with me. So the Rambam begins at this halacha and says, you should not serve Hashem in order to get reward. You should not serve Hashem because it'll protect you from tragedy and calamity. That is serving God as shelo lishma, not for the sake of heaven, not for the sake of purity of heaven. So I want to share with you a beautiful verse related to this idea. We don't serve Hashem because we want schar. We don't serve Hashem because we're afraid of pra'anos. So my son shared this with me. Could you see this? Could you see that I went to a document? There's a written Dvar Torah on my screen. You cannot. Okay, very good. Thank you. Oh, not everyone is muted. What happened there? Good, I went back to check. Okay, now everyone's muted. Can you now see? Where did everyone go? Why can't I see you more? 1 second. Now it's another screen, but now I can't see you. Where did you guys go? Why can't I see you? Okay, I could see you. I could see you. Baruch Hashem. I could see you, you could see me, and you could see my screen? Okay. So this is a very beautiful dar. If you look at the date when I first prepared this to teach it to you, July 8th. So you should just know how many weeks the material carries over, and I prepare and I re-prepare and I prepare and I re-prepare and re-prepare. V'ayayim shemot tishmu, Rashi says, if you review the old, you'll learn the new. You should always keep reviewing. This is a beautiful verse that relates exactly to what we just learned in the Rambam, which is that a person should serve Hashem lo lekav balschar, not to receive reward. That's not the most opportune or optimal way to serve God. And Parshas Korach, yes, we have to go back to Parshas Korach. There was a rebellion. Moshe and Aaron's cousin, Korach, was a Levi. He was jealous of Aaron's position of kohuna, priesthood. He was jealous of Moshe's position of rabbinic leadership. And Korach wants gedula, greatness for himself. This goes back to Perek Yud Zayin in the book of Bamidbar. Maybe Perek Tes Zayin as well. And Parashas Korach, Yud Zayin, I think, Tazayin to Yudzayin. In Parshas Korach, the Torah recounts Korach approached Moshe with a complaint against the institution of certain individuals maintaining loftier positions in Avodas Hashem. Why should I settle for being a Levi? Korach said. I also want to serve God as a Kohen. He was also from the descendant of Levi, so why shouldn't I get Kohuna? Why should I just be a Levi and you, Aaron, get to be a Kohen? I also want to serve Hashem with the exalted service of a Kohen. I want to give Hashem the unique pleasure from the avoda of the Kohanim. Why should you get to do it, Aaron? I want to be the Kohen. But while his intentions may have been holy, Korach was making a tremendous mistake. The mistake was so big, it begins in Perek Tes Zayin, that it led to his being swallowed up by the ground, along with his family and all of his belongings. What was the root of his error that led him so astray? Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, the great Berditchever. So tonight I looked up the dates. I thought he was 1700s. So it's 1740 through 1809 or 1810. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev teaches us where Korach went wrong, and it exactly relates to our learning that it's dangerous to serve Hashem for the ulterior motive. It becomes dangerous to serve Hashem for the purpose of receiving schar, which is why the Rambam writes, you should serve Hashem not for receiving schar. You should just serve Hashem because you love God, not because you want a reward. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev explains, there are two kinds of Ovdei Hashem. There are two kinds of servants of God. What does this mean? One kind of Jew serves Hashem within the structure of reward and punishment, schar and onesh. His mind is wired to provide personal motivation based on how much schar, how much reward a mitzvah will get him in the world to come. And he stays away from spiritual failings because he doesn't want to experience divine wrath. So this is not the highest level of Avodas Hashem. He might still be doing the mitzvos and staying away from the averos, but the whole time the mind is calculating how much schar will this mitzvah get me? How much onesh, punishment, will this avera get me? And this is serving God for an ulterior motive, which we're not supposed to do. The second kind of Jew, however, serves Hashem not based on schar, reward, and onesh, punishment, but purely lishma. So this is literally exactly what we just saw in the Rambam, which is why I went back one halacha. For heaven's sake, out of, I couldn't make this connection up, but my son shared with me way back in the beginning of July, we were already learning Ahavas Hashem. I said, wait a minute, I'm going over this in Shire. Can you please share this with me? I actually printed it out for myself. I'm carrying around in my Sefer for over a month, but I wanted to screen share with you. I do have the hard copy right here, but it ties in exactly to what the Rambam writes and the halacha we just studied. The second kind of Jew serves Hashem not based on Tzchar and Onesh, but simply Lishma. For heaven's sake, out of what? Absolute love, which is what we're talking about, and the burning desire to fulfill the will of the Creator. It doesn't matter what schar there is. I love Hashem and I want to do His will. Instead of thinking, if I push myself to learn 5 more minutes, I'll get so much schar, so much reward, or I better not do this aveira so I don't go to Gehenim, the second kind of Jew thinks, I will push myself to learn for 5 more minutes to give the Ribbono Shel Olam so much pride, so much nachas, so much pleasure. So you move the avoda away from I-focused to God-focused. Ahavas Hashem leads to a much more God-focused service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not about what I get from this. It's what Hashem wants from me and what He, kaviyachol, receives from my avoda. The first Jew says, I'm going to learn for 5 more minutes so I get 5 extra degrees higher in Olam Haba. Or I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara because I don't want to go to the depths of Gehenna. The Ahavas Hashem Jew says, I am going to do this mitzvah because I love Hashem so much, I want Him to be happy with me. I won't do that aveira because Hashem doesn't want me to do it. I hope the differentiation is clear. Or he says, oi, how can I do this aveira? It will ruin my relationship with Hashem. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev has such an astute point here into what a true Ohev Hashem is. A true Ohev Hashem, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago, actually, when we spoke about Shabbos Mevorachim, which, by the way, Shabbos Mevorachim again, and the Jew who loves Hashem so much that he runs, if anybody remembers, was a very powerful shir. It wasn't my word. I was quoting Rabbi Surya Malitsky from New Jersey. The Jew who loves Hashem so much, he runs the Dava Mincha, but he blocks the next guy's driveway. So if you were here a month ago, what we spoke about is that Ahavas Hashem is really Ahavas Ben Adam Chavero. If you really love Hashem without ulterior motive, you love fellow Jews. So Okor Levi Yitzchak Berditchev says, the primary difference between these two paths is the way one feels regarding another Jew and his service of God. It's very profound. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev teaches, for the Ovedei Hashem, the Oved Hashem, the one who serves God, who studies Torah and performs the mitzvahs for the reward, by default that means who has to do the mitzvah? Even though I can't hear you, but by default it means who has to do the mitzvah? John is pointing to herself, or you're just playing with your necklace, you're pointing to yourself. I'm also playing with my necklace. You're pointing to yourself. The one who serves Hashem al menas the kabel schar wants himself to do the mitzvah. Why? He doesn't want the next guy to do the mitzvah. It's I-focused. But if you care about Hashem and you don't care about getting reward, does it matter who does the mitzvah? You love Hashem. Hashem is more nachas from the more people do the mitzvahs. It's very important that it is He who is serving Hashem and causing Him pleasure. Since this Jew wants to earn the most schar, the most reward, he cannot be satisfied when another Jew attains a high level in avodas Hashem. Hey, you're going to get more reward than me. Instead of being happy that other people are doing mitzvahs, he grows jealous, wishing it were he who was at that level. I wish I was on that level. I wish I could perform that avodah. Not because I want to make Hashem happier, but I have just been outvoted, outnumbered, outmanned, outrewarded by somebody else. So ultimately, if we serve Hashem to receive reward, says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, we're going to actually detract from the nachas ruach that Hashem receives, kaviyacha. It's brought down in the biography of Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, the Heilig Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, the giant in Torah, Maisim Tovim, giant, Adam Gadol, Gaon Olam, that he said, Ahavas Torah, this relates exactly to what we're speaking about, Ahavas Torah is not when your base medrash is full. Ahavas Torah is when you rejoice when your friend's base medrash is full. Ahavas Torah is not rejoicing when your base medrash is full. It's rejoicing fully when your friend's base medrash is full. It's the same idea here. Whatever brings more nachas and contentment and gladness, nachas ruach lefanai, shamarti v'nasa ritzoni to the Ribbono Shel Olam, makes me happy as a Jew who serves the avod of God. But if it's I-focused, And I care about my reward, my needs. I want, I need, I feel, I get, I have, I think. However, for the second Jew, the one who serves Hashem out of love, it makes absolutely no difference as the Berditchever, whether it is he who is serving Hashem on the highest level or somebody else. As long as someone is serving Hashem on the highest level, I have to strive to get there. But his sole focus is providing Hashem with the highest possible pleasure. So he is not jealous when his friend attains a position which will allow him to reach higher degrees of avoda. On the contrary, because his only desire is that Hashem should rejoice, he is thrilled that someone else is providing Hashem pleasure. That's exactly what Rav Nosson Tzvi said. True Ahavas Torah is when someone else's base measure is full, because I know I am not no gay bedavar. I am not subjective. I'm happy that people are learning Torah and bringing Hashem nachas ruach. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, the second kind of Jew, longs for the day that all of Klal Yisrael will serve Hashem on the highest level. What does this have to do with Korach? This is not my son's Torah, by the way. I forget who sent it to him, what Rabbi posted. I don't remember. The Tzaddik teaches this was Korach's mistake. The verse states, Vayikach Korach, in the beginning, if we will go back and look at the Pesukim, Vayikach Korach, and Korach took. With these words, the Torah is hinting that the focus of Korach's Avodas Hashem is for the sake of receiving eternal reward. Vayikach Korach, Dasen Vaviram on Ben Pawas, 250 men, chamishum mesayim anashim. Vayikach Korach means he wanted to take for himself reward, as opposed to giving Hashem nachas through ahavas Hashem. This is why Korach wasn't satisfied when Aaron served Hashem as the kohuna. He wasn't looking for someone to be the kohen, anyone to be the kohen. He wanted it for himself, so he could earn the tremendous reward that Aaron's avoda engendered. Had Korach's avodas Hashem been solely out of love and the desire to provide Hashem with nachas ruach, he would have rejoiced in Aaron's portion. What difference would it make to Korach, who the master of the world was receiving delight from? It was because he was serving Hashem with a different focus, which was a manasseh kabbalschar, which is a much lower level of avodas Hashem, that he came to commit this grave error, and he sought a position for which he was not fit. So when the Rambam teaches us, I close the window. Oh, nachas ruach, thank you very much, good question. So when we have this phrase a lot in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, nachas is like pleasure. You say a parent should have nachas, a rabbi should have nachas from the Talmud. A teacher should have nachas from his student, a sense of pleasure or contentment, and ruach is spirit. So nachas ruach is a contentment of spirit, a contentment of the soul, a internal happiness that the right thing is being done. Is that a good explanation? Tell me if not. Yeah, it makes sense? Okay. If it's not, it's good questions. It's important to ask me. If I say something that's not understood, please, I appreciate that you stop me, because I shouldn't assume. I try not to. Sometimes I just talk and I forget, but thank you for stopping me. So now let's go back at the Rambam again. Just the, can you see the Rambam now, or I didn't do it right? Yeah, you do see the Rambam? You don't see the Rambam? No. Okay, 1 second. I don't know what happened to the choice on my screen. Okay, let me stop screen share. Stop share. Hashem. It's the same idea with Moshe and Aaron at the snare. Oh, very, very nice. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful rebuttal for the other side to prove how mistaken Korach was. Here you have another case. Very, 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 very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. You have a beautiful comparison. In Korach's case, he was jealous because he just wants him, I, me, Korach, to be doing the avodah. So I should get reward. He was jealous of Aaron. Adaraba, by the snap, by the burning bush. Very nice. Beautiful, Joanna. We see that Moshe and Aaron would be happy for each other. There was no jealousy whatsoever. That's 4:14 that you just quoted. Shani, I thought you're not coming to share tonight. I'm happy to have you wherever you are. Maybe not visible on the screen, but very, very nice. But wait, going back to Joanna's comment, that's beautiful. Very nice. The true Ovdei Hashem, who serve Hashem just because they love Hashem and they want Him to have nachas ruach, contentment of the spirit, so to speak, are not jealous of each other. Adarabba, like Rav Nachman Tzvi said, when someone else is successful in Avodah Hashem, you're happy. So what does Hashem say about Aaron? Moshe's worried Aaron will be jealous of he, Moshe. Aaron's 3 years older. Moshe's getting this whole position of prestige. What's Aaron going to say? How could I skip over him? Hashem, maybe you should give Aaron the position. Hashem said, stop worrying about Aaron. He is so pure. His motives are only for Avodas Hashem, that he will come out to meet you. He will see you returning to Egypt proper. And he will be happy in his heart. Beautiful, Joanna. And Rashi says there, that's why Aaron was zocho to wear the Adi HaChoshen, the stones on the breastplate of the Kohen that lit up, because it represented he was happy in his heart. Very, very nice. So we see the relationship between two brothers who ultimately both just want to serve Hashem for the sake of serving God. They each want the other one to have the kavod. Beautiful point, Joanna. Tremendous. They each want the other one to have the kavod. When it comes to Korach, their first cousin, who's motivated by reward, al menas l'kab el schar, he can't handle that someone else is a better position than him, and that ultimately was his downfall. Very, very, very nice. That's exactly right. And that's why it's so climactically beautiful that it's Moshe and Aaron. I don't want to say they were against Korach, actually, because it's really Korach who was against Moshe and Aaron. But it's very nice, because on one hand, you have the epitome of Ohavei Hashem, those who love God, as proved by the conversation between Hashem and Moshe at the burning bush, against he who loves himself and not the Ribono Shel Olam. Very nice. Nachas Ruach is a beautiful expression. You have it a lot. I started saying the beginning of Vayikra, by the Korbanos. So Rashi repeatedly says, the Psukim say that when we do the offerings properly as Hashem wants, Hashem says it is a Nachas Ruach Lafanai. It brings a contentment of spirit to me, so to speak, says God, Sha'amarti, that I decreed Vinasa Ritzoni. When we fulfill Hashem's will, it brings a measure of contentment of the spirit to the soul of God, so to speak. Just like a child, we always talk about a relationship with Hashem, a parent-child relationship. Just like when a child listens to the parent or excels in a certain area, the parent has a sense, no matter what our age, our parents should live and be well to 120. I'm sure you know this if you are zochah to still have parents in Olam Hazeh, or when they were in Olam Hazeh, they're proud of us no matter what we do, no matter how old they are, no matter how old we are. Parents have a sense of contentment when something is done correctly. That is the spirit, spiritual renewal, if you will, that we give to God. Very nice questions and comments and points. Does anyone else have any other points before I move on? Okay. So let's daven to Hashem, but I can ask screen share again. I don't know what happened. Hashem, help me. I don't know why I can't screen share the Rambam again. Namish l'shmai, why to see? I don't know why it's not working. I have an idea. Baruch Hashem. I have an idea. You have an idea, Sima? Oh, you're raising your hand. I have an idea. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I have an idea. I have an idea. Okay, plan B. Stay there. I'm here. I'm just preparing it in a different way so you could see on my screen. So we could be on the same page. Get it? Pun intended. Same page. Okay. Let's see if this works, please, Hashem. Yeah, it worked. You should be able to see this, yes? Okay, Baruch Hashem. I went into Safari. I copied and pasted the last halacha of the Rambam into a document. Can you see? Okay, so we are now finishing. Yes, you can, Baruch Hashem. There is a comment. Maybe it's on the previous discussion. I was trying to share content. There's a green arrow on the bottom of your screen that says share content. Okay, I don't know what I did wrong. It doesn't matter. You could see this now? Okay, let's go on. Okay, so this is the final halacha of the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Yud Halacha Vav. We have gone through all of the previous halachos greatly in depth with Baruch Hashem, much commentary and added sources. This is what I want to do now, and this is the last halacha. Davar yadua. Okay, so do I need to write the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva 10:6 on top? You just know. Okay. Davar yadua ubarur. It is a matter that is known and clear. She'ein ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu niksheres belibo shel adam. The love of the Holy One, blessed be He, is not kashur, is not tied, the translation's really on my own, is not instilled, is not implanted from the root word kesher, connected. It is well known and clear that love of the Holy One, blessed be He, is not tightly intertwined in the heart of a person. Ad sheyishgah batamid. We already saw this. That the Rambam says you should always be thinking of God. You should be sick with love for God. He says, if you remember a few halachas ago, like a man who can't stop thinking about the woman that he loves. When he eats, he's thinking about his lover. When he gets up, he's thinking about the woman he loves. When he goes to sleep, he's thinking about the woman he loves. So it is well known that love of God is not implanted and intertwined deeply in the heart of man until he constantly contemplates this idea, kara'ui, appropriately, v'yazov kol ma sheba'olam chutz mimena. Such a high degree. This is like the highest degree of Avodah Hashem. This was of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal. If you read the biography of Aaron Leib Steinman, he ate a half a potato and a cooked egg every day. He had a bowl of cold porridge. So they asked him, how does the cold porridge taste? He says, if you eat it every day, you get used to it. He ate only to sustain his guf, his body, so that he could do more and more mitzvos. I eat because I like the food. I like how it tastes. Sometimes I remember to say, I'm eating Hashem, so I have a kolach to serve you, strength to serve you. I try sometimes to say that. But lamaisa, can I say I'm totally removed from all gashmis in this world? No. Now again, I don't know if that's my tafkid as a woman, but certainly, the more we remove ourselves from striving after gashmias, the more we will come closer and more attached to ruchnias. I'll tell you a word that my friend Esther Goodman shared with me. She's been with me for many, many years. Esther Goodman told over about the name of Rav Weinberger from Eish Kodesh. In our davening, well, not now, but in the fall, we'll say, Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGashem. Mashiv HaRuach, God returns the winds. U'morid HaGashem, He brings down rain. We daven for this because in Eretz Yisrael, the rainy season is the winter. And we daven that Hashem should bring down rain. Without rain, there's drought. Without rain, people could die. It's a disaster if there's Chas V'Shalom, no rain. So she told over a beautiful word from Moshe Weinberger. Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGashem. Okay, so obviously in the Pshat, we're davening that Hashem should restore the wind and bring down the rain. But on the level of spiritual drash, Mashiv HaRuach, restore our spirituality, Mashiv HaRuach, restore our ruchnius, Umarid HaGashem, and reduce our involvement with Gashmis in this world. Did I explain it well? It's beautiful. Okay, I did not make that up. Esther Gumman, in the name of Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita from Eish Kodesh, Mashiv HaRuach, Umarid HaGashem, you should strive to maintain a life. And when do we daven for this? On Sukkot, by the way, when we move into the sukkah, into the booth, away from the comforts of our home. We make that temporary, flimsy dwelling. Now, today, some sukkahs look nicer than the person's house it could be. But if you just have a regular, like when I was growing up, sukkah, yes, it should be decorated, and yes, there's hiddur mitzvah. I understand. I'm not saying the sukkah should be ugly. Bas v'shalom. But when you move into that temporary dwelling and you recognize that you're really under the protection of Hashem, you're leaving the gashmius of this world. You leave the comforts of your home. You leave the stability. It's really a misnomer. It's really a misperception that we think we have stability in our homes. We only have stability when we're with God. And when do we specifically daven for Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGashem? On the Yom Tov, when we leave the gashmius, when we go out into the sukkah, when we leave the comforts of this world, Mashiv HaRuach Hashem, please restore to our soul, restore to our soul, Mach Ruchnias, U'morid HaGashem, let us reduce our involvement with Gashmias, with materiality in this world. It's beautiful. So that's what the Rambam says, that it is known and clear that Ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only tied to a person's heart when he constantly and continuously contemplates this appropriately, the Ya'azov Kol Ma SheBa'olam Chutz Mimena. and he leaves everything aside. It's told over in the biography of Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Allah Hasham, that someone gave them new sheets, and they gave it away to a different neighbor right away. She said, why do I need new sheets? I sleep 3 hours, they sleep 8 hours, they need new sheets. They can use it much more than me. Rav Chaim and his Rebbetzin, Rav Chaim Shlita, and the Rebbetzin once went to visit, these are both vignettes told over in her biography, went to visit a newlywed grandson, and they saw there was a curio of silver. So Rav Chaim said, when are you going to get rid of the shmatas and replace it with svarim? So yes, we have silver and we beautify the table, I understand. But we have to have some degree of removal from ruchni, from gashmius in this world, from intense attachment to physical things in order to properly cling to Hashem. Like the Pasuk tells us, Devarim 6:5, we should serve Hashem with all your heart and with all your soul. We should love Hashem. So Rashi says, "B'shnei yitziracha, with your yetzar tov and your yetzar ra, your two inclinations, and also shelo yelibcha chaluk al malkum, your heart should not be divided over God. B'chol nafshecha, afilu no tals nafshecha, even it takes your life. But here, I think what the Rambam is saying is, b'chol nafshecha, make your soul the primary purpose of avodas Hashem, not only when He takes your life, but while you live." Make the focus of life your nefesh, not your guf. In the next chapter, I saved it for the next chapter, but I'm going to quote a teaching of Rav Noach Weinberg, the founder of Rosh Hashiva of Eshet Torah, exactly on this idea. That you should serve Hashem, make the nefesh the priority, meaning the soul. Eino oe v'kodesh baruch hu, ela bida sheyedaehu. And the Rambam says it's important to learn about knowing God, which is, I think, a great haskama and testament to the power of this class, the shir, this chabura. So that's really what we're trying to do. You cannot possibly love Hashem if you don't have knowledge of knowing God to the best of our ability. I've heard Rav Shai Shechu say a few times, in the name of Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, Amuna Peshuta is for a generation when things are pasha. Amuna Peshuta, simple faith is for when the generation is simple. So I really didn't understand. The second time I heard him say this, I'm looking at my phone because I want to see if I can go back and find his explanation to share with you. So the second time I heard him say this, I really didn't understand what he meant. So I reached out to him and I said, it's never pasha for a Jew. What does that mean? Here, I found his text. One second. He wrote, quote, you are misunderstanding what we mean. Okay, I'm misunderstanding, so I want to have a clarification. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is from the beginning of July. So I heard him say again that Amuna Peshuta is for a generation when things are pasha. He says this in the name of Rav Asher Weiss. Amuna Peshuta means simple faith. It's for a generation when things are simple. There was a comment. Does it need to be just now? I don't know. So let me see what it says. Very nice, beautiful. Sukkos is also Chag HaAsif. Very, very nice. Okay, Chana's comments is very nice, beautiful. Beautiful. When we have so much crop and the warehouse is overflowing, we dafka leave the house to go to the sukkah. And by the way, perhaps that's why we dafka daven, mashiv ruach umar to geshem, not according to the pshat, the simple explanation, but the deeper level, which is we have so much bounty, don't let me become infatuated with all this gashmius. Help me maintain a higher degree of ruchnius. Very, very nice. Beautiful. Okay, so I'm going to quote Rav Shai Shachter now, because what we just read from the Rambam is, Eino ohev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person cannot truly love the Holy One, blessed be He, Ella, if he doesn't have da'as sheyeda'ehu, knowledge by with to know Him. So you could say, how could I know about Hashem? So now let me tell you what he clarified with me. So I told him, I'm thinking a lot about this comment, Amuna Peshut is for a generation when things are pasha. I really did not understand it. Because I said to him, is it ever a pasha door for Yidden? What does it mean, pasha? Do Jews ever live in a pasha time? I said, them was a pasha in the time of the Crusades? And they rampaged and they slaughtered tens of thousands of Jews? Was it pasha during the Spanish Inquisition? Was it pasha most recently in the Holocaust? Was it pasha in Gezeirus Tach V'Tach 1648, 1649? Was it pasha when they blamed the Black Death on the Jews? Jews have had emuna in each and every generation. So I really did not understand what it means. Emuna Peshut is for a generation when things are pasha. When is it pasha to be a Jew? Does anyone understand my question? Was I so off base? You understand my question? So I've heard him, the second time I heard him say this in the beginning of his Samma series, I reached out to him because I really did not understand what this means. And he's quoting with Asher Wai Shlita, but to me, I didn't understand because I don't think it's ever Pasha for a Jew. But Chol Dar Vadar, Amdi Malenu L'Chalaseinu, and yet Jews, in each and every generation, they stand up to annihilate us. And yet Jews have had a Muna, faith in God in every generation. So I don't know what this means. So he wrote, it means the extent of the average shtetl yid, so in other words, it used to be, their engagement and involvement in the world was almost none. That is, I understand. Whatever town they lived in, all the way till the modern times, the last 100 years, you could say, that's where they lived. Their whole life revolved around the happenings in that place, in that time, in that town. Life, quote, was not as complex. I'm literally quoting his text. Obviously, Jews have always had difficulties, because he's responding to what I said, in every generation. When is it ever, was a pasuk from my grandfather who writes, we returned from a hard day of slave labor, and we gathered in the barracks to daven Eila with a minion. His piece is called In Seven Camps is 3 Years. Is that pasuk? So Rav Shai wrote, obviously Jews always have had difficulties, but the complexity of the lives that we now experience are dramatically different, period. That is a fact. And then he clarified and said, people were never educated and sophisticated like they are today. The whole global community is part of our lives. If something happens in Australia to the Jewish community, we know about it. If something happens in South Africa, if something happens in Canada, if something happens in New Zealand, I don't know, are the Jews in New Zealand? If something happens in England, we know. Politics across the world, we know. So what Emuna Peshuta for a Pasha generation, Rav Shai Shecht was explaining to me, is that Pasha generation means when you lived in your own Dalai Lamas, in your own town, in your own 4 cubits, in your own street, and your whole life revolved around the shtetl community. Whether it was a shtetl or not a shtetl, your immediate neighborhood. You weren't aware of everything going on in the whole world by nature of the fact that there was no industrial revolution and then technological revolution. You simply did not know these things. So, and then he told me again, because I kept asking, he said, you are misunderstanding what we mean when we discuss Emuna Peshuta. So I said, okay, so I'm misunderstanding. He said, we're not discussing difficult situations and challenges of Jewish history. We're talking about whether a Jew should do chakira b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, investigate, learn about chakira, investigate, learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or just accept everything at face value. There were generations of simple Jews who were just that, simple Jews. They didn't know about the whole world. Today, the average person is far more educated and sophisticated. And Rav Shai finally wrote, to assume that we should be deeply educated about everything else in the world, politics, medicine, environment, I'm adding on to his text, okay? We are deeply educated about everything in the world. But we are ignoramuses in regard to understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really make sense. So if you heard Rav Shai Shechter say, I say this with the highest respect, I ask him all my shaylas, he gives me work hadracha, I don't make work decisions without consulting his Das Torah. If he has a shayla that affects that he can't answer, he asks his father Shlita of Herschel Shechter. So I'm explaining to you what I did not understand. And if you've heard him say this and you understood it, great. And if you've heard him saying you didn't understand it, this is how he explained it to me. Emuna Peshuta is when times are pasha does not mean Jews never had difficulties, which was I was having struggling trouble with, because it's never pasha to be a Jew. Halacha b'yadua she'esav son el Yaakov, from the minute Esav saw Yaakov and he gave him a hug and a kiss, so Rashi says he hates us. What does it mean? I didn't understand what a pasha generation is. It's never a simple generation for Jews. He said, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the struggles that Jews have faced in every generation. We're talking about our understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam. We understand and learn about everything today. We know about science. We know about technology. We're trying to know about COVID. We have political debates as couch generals. We know about the situation with the Arabs in the Middle East. We know about technological advances. We know about cochlear implants. We know about pacemakers. We know about kidney transplants. We know about this and that and this and that. And a Jew shouldn't learn about the Ribono Shel Olam. I want to see if he said anything. And he said again, once again, that's not the point, because I kept asking something else. And he said, this is not, I'm not reading you my text because they're not worthy enough to repeat. But he said, Emunah Peshuta for a Pasha generation does not mean, quote, tragedies and challenges. It's about the, quote, sophistication of people's minds. The challenge of Emunah always exists, he wrote. If it was an indisputable fact, it wouldn't be called belief. People always struggle with Emunah. Emunah is belief because it's not an indisputable fact. There's room for the Yetzer to make you doubt. But this comment, Emunah Peshuta, is for a Pasha generation, is not, he said, about Emunah. It's not about the challenges of belief. It's about the challenge of Yedia, Dea, knowledge. Should we know about everything, he was saying, in our, quoting of Asher Weiss, Shlita, on the post Geodar? Should we know everything about everything? We can help childless couples to have children in ways that was never possible. We can make deaf children hear. We can learn about diseases that you couldn't see and didn't even know existed back in the day. Science, technology. Should we learn about everything except God? And what happens if we do that is become so infatuated with everything else that along the way, what might happen to our relationship with Hashem? We have become so busy learning about everything else that we forget about the Ribono Shel Olam. And then his last text said, this is about the Machlokas HaRishonim. Machlokas HaRishonim. Argument's the wrong word. The disagreement between the earlier, from time of the Tur, the Rambam, the Ramban. It's a Machlokas HaRishonim, whether one should live life with a Emunah Peshuta, I mean, just blind faith, and never delve into anything philosophical, or whether we should try our best to scratch the surface and understand deeper to the extent possible. So I have to say, I felt like I was a little bit in trouble. These texts were very mechamta shel Torah. It's fine. If I misunderstood, I misunderstood. But I'm glad I asked, because I really did not know what he was talking about. Every time he said, I say this with the greatest mamish, the greatest respect, literally. I say the charaf, but I didn't know what he was talking about. So Emunah Peshuta, simple faith, when times are simple, does not mean it's ever easy to be a Jew. And it doesn't mean people don't struggle with Emunah from the beginning of time. It means if we're so educated, or we think we're so educated, about everything around us, and we now live in a global world. I don't just live in the Dalai Lamas of my shtetl. Instantly you know what happens around the world. Should we not be educated about the knowledge of Hashem? His last text again. This is about the Machlokas HaRishonim, the halachic debate between the Rishonim, whether, two sides, should one just live with Emunah Peshuta, simple blind faith, and never delve into anything philosophical? Or we should try our best to scratch the surface. I'm looking at my WhatsApp. That's what I'm looking at here so that I can read what he wrote. Or whether we should try our best to scratch the surface and understand deeper to the extent possible. So clearly, Rav Asher Weiss, who's one of Rav Shai Shechter's Rabbeim, teaches that today things are not Pasha. And today we need for our own connection to God as much as possible to understand our relationship with Hashem and the workings of Hashem. Someone just said to me today, it's very powerful, non-affiliated woman who listens to my Shir Mamayu Torah, Baruch Hashem. And she said, I think my questions will never totally be answered. I said, I think you're right. All of your questions will never be answered. But at least we should try. So again, I'm not quoting anything for myself, but I think it ties very much into here what the Rambam writes. You have to, the Rambam says, so perhaps he's on the side of Shai, didn't go further with which Rishonim or which side of the Machlokas, but it seems that the Rambam feels that you have to have some knowledge of God in order to love him. Okay, I hope I explained that all well. There's a lot of comments, so let me see what people are saying. No, one second. Sorry, I wanted to get through the piece. So Sima Gaffin says she understands. You understood what I meant before, or you understood before what he was talking about? Okay, Baruch Hashem, I did not. Okay, it doesn't matter. That's exactly correct. Debbie Fried, that's exactly what he was saying, that in the shtetl, that's exactly right. They didn't know about Chukas HaGoyim and the ways of the nations of the world the way we do now. So if we don't combat our knowledge sports, oy, the shtusim, Hollywood, the things that people idolize, oy, chatanu, slachnu, yotzreinu, manomer, manedabra, what are we going to say in the olam ha'emes? We knew so much about Hollywood. We knew so much about the movies. We knew so much about the lives of the movie stars. And God's going to say, what about me? Did you know about me? What am I going to say? Ah, me, Baruch Hashem, but people. What are we going to say? So, Debbie Fried, you're absolutely correct. They didn't know about the ways of the Goyim we know now. They fled from the Goyim. Today, Rachman al-Tzan, sometimes it's the other way around. I'm sorry, Nancy. Oh, pshuta. Okay, someone explained it to Nancy. Thank you. God. No, Libby, he's not saying it was better in the day. He's saying that was then, this was now. It's a fact. Not one is better than the other. It's just two different realities. That was then, this is now. We have to deal with what's now now. We had to deal with what's then then. Please say that again. We need. I don't know the last thing I said. Libby, I don't know what I was the last thing I said that you said we need. Esti, maybe Emunah Peshuta Kamina was easier, more pasha for them to believe. Perhaps. However, that's not what Rav Shechter was explaining to me, because apparently I got that part wrong. He was saying it's not about Emunah. He said Beferush, explicitly, Jews have always struggled with Emunah, because he said that's why it's called belief. It's not an indisputable fact. He said if it wasn't belief, I read you the text, it would be called fact. Belief means we have struggles with our Yetzer Hara about this very topic. He was explaining to me that Emunah Peshuta means, simple faith means, when times are simple, when, like one woman said, we're not surrounded by the Goyim, we're not inundated with their knowledge. We don't know everything about everything except God. So in a time when we know everything about everything, including Chukas HaGoyim, the ways of the Gentiles, and the culture, and modern medicine, and technology, and education, and Broadway, so we shouldn't know about God. Oh, maybe the last thing I was saying was the last sentence of the Rambam. Let's look at it one more time. I thought we were going to finish the last halacha. Okay, at least we got halfway through it. Eino ohev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person cannot love the Holy One, blessed be He, ela bidaat da'as, de'a, sheyeda'ehu, with knowledge of knowing God. Which is why I shared with you the explanation that Rav Shechter explained to me. His whole point is, we do need to investigate. We need to dig deeply into these ideas. We need to acquire knowledge to the greatest extent possible. I already went out of his WhatsApp, but that's what the last one said. To the greatest extent possible, we need to delve into knowing Hashem, just like we know about everything else, because otherwise our minds are going to be so busy knowing everything else. And what's going to happen to our knowledge of the Ribono Shel Olam? Whew. Does anyone else have questions or comments? Lots of food for thought. I hope I explained it well. If I didn't, the mistake is my own. I accept full responsibility. Not Rav Shechter and Chalila Naravash Weiss. It means I didn't do a good job explaining it. I hope I did. Any other questions or comments? Okay, next week, Belinator, we will finish the final halacha. Okay, the Neshama of Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShem should merit a continuous aliyah in the schus of this Torah learning.